Afternoon, and I've got a very special guest with me today. Caleb, come on up here. I've got three boys, Joshua, Caleb, and Samuel, and this is my Caleb, and he is here, and he's actually, he's moving in some pretty high-level things as it relates to the prophetic. You know, one of the fruits of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is that your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Amen. Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 11:6 that a child shall lead us. And Isaiah 8:18 says, "Here am I and the children whom God has given for us. We are for signs and wonders in Israel." And see, and I believe one of, one of the things that I just so appreciate about Archbishop Chuck and Father Mark and just the team here at Christ the King is it's not just about one generation doing all of this stuff, but we know that there's a four-star revival that is moving in Selma that not only is going to touch every area of socioeconomic status, every religion, every denomination, but also every generation as well. How many know in Isaiah 59:21, it actually gives the key. How many of you heard prophecies about Isaiah 60? There'd be a generation that would arise and shine, that the glory of the Lord would be seen upon them. But it actually gives us a secret to how to see that generation come to pass in Isaiah 59:21. And this is what it says. It says that I will put my spirit on you and my words in your mouth. And I will put my spirit and my words in the mouth of your descendants and your descendants' descendants from this time forevermore. Now arise and shine. And see, I believe one of the things that God is doing in revival is that through the power and spirit of Elijah, He's taking the hearts of the fathers and turning them to the children, and the hearts of the children and turning them to the fathers, that together we would be one voice lifting up the name of Jesus in a city to see Jesus Christ draw all men to Him. Do you believe that? And so Caleb's here as a witness to that. So thankful he's here. Go ahead and sit down, buddy, and I'll call you up when I'm ready for you. He's going to have some stuff for you as well. In fact, he released some things last night at our encounter service. He had actually, during the offering, actually, I'll tell you, that's a great time to get prophetic. Amen. He actually had an open vision and started to see some angelic ministers and messengers come into the room and began to release ministry out of that. And it was really transforming. And so it was just a powerful time of what he was seeing and what he was able to release. And see, I believe that when God begins to move, honestly, one of the greatest graces we can have as leaders is recognize when the way comes into the room and get out of the way. Amen. To make room for Him and to recognize the different ways that God is moving in and throughout the room. And that's one of the reasons I'm so excited to hear about the activation that has been happening here. This is not just a time, of course, to come in to be taught, but it's a time to be activated. Amen. You know, it's no fun just to come and hear about the prophetic, but we all must be trained up in the prophetic. In fact, 1 Corinthians 14:31 says, "You may all prophesy." You may all prophesy. Amen? You know, and a lot of times what we've reserved in times past for different ministerial offices that are given as gifts to the church by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes we think, oh, well, that's for the prophets. I want to give you a key, just a real simple key to how to see. How many of you would like to be able to see into heaven? How many of you would like to be able to see right now what the Father is doing? How many of you right now would like to walk in the greater works of the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, Jesus said in John 14:12, "If you believe on me and the works that I did, these works and greater works you'll do." And, you know, he didn't say you'd have to come to a school of the prophets, although that helps. He didn't say you'd have to read a certain book or a certain CD or DVD set. John 5, the accusers of the Lord's day, the religious types, they begin to question him at how he could walk into a certain city at a certain time to a certain pool called the Pool of Bethesda, and walk across all of these recognized needs that were in his midst, and go to one man who had been lame 38 years, and not only to release healing to that man, but to give that man an opportunity and an invitation to see his life changed and his city transformed as a result. And in fact, he asked the man, he said, "Do you want to be made well?" And the man gave the wrong answer to the wrong question. He said, "Well, it's not my fault. There's nobody else to put me in." And that just shows that the Lord is, he's not dependent on our ability to even know what we're talking about. Listen, if He can speak through Balaam's donkey, surely He can speak through us. Amen? We're going to be talking about that tonight. But in John 5:19, they said, how do you speak with such authority? How do you do the things that you do? And verse 20 is what he told us. He said in John 5:20, he says, the Father loves the Son. How many of you know today that the Lord loves you? Just say that. Just say, the Father loves me. And just let it rest on you. Just see law and the love of God for a minute. Do you feel it just came into the room? Just say that again. Father loves me. He says the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things He Himself is doing, even greater works than these that we may all marvel. And I want to offer to you that the key to greater works, the key to living a life of not just being prophetic at service times or when you're trying to be ministerial, but a place where you can always be on when it comes to hearing the voice of God is simply recognizing that as a son and as a daughter, you are greatly loved by your Father. And that is how you tune your heart to be recalibrated to the frequency of what heaven is wanting to say. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, we're given the posture of the prophetic, and it starts with one thing: pursue love. Pursue love. Not only pursue loving others, but first make yourself available for the love that God has for you. Amen? And so there's a couple things we're going to talk about this afternoon. I know we've got a couple states represented. I know we've got Canada represented, thankfully, for Father Mark in the back. I just love Father Mark and of course, Archbishop Chuck and Rosemary and the team here. It's one of our great delights and pleasures whenever we get to come to Selma. As Chuck mentioned, we do have the opportunity to lead Kingsway Church in Birmingham. We believe that God is no longer renewing streams. He gave me a word that although He's moved in streams in times past, He said the move of God that's coming is going to be to renew a river and not just a stream. Psalm 46:4 says there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And see, it's the making up of all of the streams coming together in one place for one reason. I'm not talking about a geographical position. I'm not talking about coming into one building, but I'm talking to come into one expression of heart in worshiping the King. Amen? And we are seeing that. We're seeing that in our fellowship. We're seeing that in our city. In Birmingham, we believe that God has given us some insight and some revelation as to the sound of revival. The sound of revival, and that God is doing some things right now, not from a worship platform or from a guy with a microphone, but helping you to find your sound that's going to release the power of God that has been resident within you for so long, way longer than you've been alive. Before creation, God thought of a seed and He attached your name to it, and then He attached a sound to that seed. And it says in Psalm 32, He'll surround you with sounds of deliverance, and the fruit of that is He would lead you and He would guide you and He would instruct you with His eye. And so we actually have an event coming up in June with Ray Hughes. How many of you have heard of Ray Hughes? He's going to be with us for the Sound of Revival. You know, we'd love to invite all of you to come join us for that event. It'll be a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. If you're a leader, we have a pastors and leaders lunch. One of the things that we really feel called to do is to create a position and an opportunity for unity. So that Friday afternoon, if you're either a pastor here in Selma or visiting from another city and you'd like to be a part of that, let us know. We'd love to extend an invitation to you. And we see leaders and pastors from every single denomination coming together. They lay aside their differences and just come together and say, how can we partner together for what God wants to do in Alabama? Because it's not just about one city. Are you with me? All of us can recognize that I believe there's a significance. There's a tie between Selma, Birmingham, and Montgomery. There's something about three keys and three doors. But I believe as those three come into alignment, it's almost like a Psalm 133, dwelling together of brothers. We're going to see Alabama opened as a door that's going to bring awakening to this nation. And so there's something of a coordination of the tapestry of ministry gifts, graces, and leaders that God has given us in this state. And so we want to make that available to you if that would be a blessing to you. Now, does everyone have, we've got two handouts for this afternoon. As Chuck mentioned, I'm going to be speaking this afternoon and tonight. Tomorrow morning we're going to be doing a time of impartation, a time of activation. If we have time tonight or even tomorrow morning, one of the things that I love to do is also teaching people how to partner with their prophetic senses. You see, just like you've been given a sense of sight, a sense of smell, a sense of touch, a sense of taste in the natural, how many of you know Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:41, he said, first in the natural, then in the spirit. Hebrews 5 talks about a maturing saint, and one of the definitions of a maturity as a believer is that we've had our senses exercised to discern between good and evil. And see, one of the things that we're going to teach you this afternoon is how to recognize how much you're already hearing and how to package it in a way to where others can hear these containers of grace that bring heaven to earth in the hearts of those who hear the prophetic encouragement that God would have you to release to them. Okay? Now, we've got two study guides for this afternoon. First, we've got Growing in the Prophetic 101, Growing in the Prophetic 102. 102 is actually where we're trying to get today because 101 is going to be repeat for a lot of you. How many of you have a history of training when it comes to the prophetic? Okay? How many of you, this is your introduction to the prophetic? Okay? Enough to be able to lay some groundwork, and also in 102 we reference quite a few things in 101, so I thought it'd be beneficial to everybody for us to take some time and just to skim through 101. I do talk fast. But that's why it's fill in the blank. And I talk fast because I've got a lot to say. And these are what we call 4-hour pews. So, you know, you can sit there, and we know that the mind can't absorb what the butt can't contain. But there's a grace in these chairs to be able to sit a little longer. Amen. And so we just love being here, love being a part of what the Lord is doing. If you do need a handout, if you came in a little bit late, just raise your hand and we'll make sure you get those so you can be on page. We also find that it's helpful to folks to be able to not just come and be a part of a teaching, not just be able to have access to the audio and the video later, but also to have a handout. There's something about those who are audio listeners, visual listeners, and then also those who actually learn by scribing. And so how many of you recognize you learn better by hearing? How many of you learn better by seeing? How many of you learn better by hearing, seeing, and doing? See, that's what they teach you in medical school. They actually, the way that they train you to do surgery, they train you to do something you've never done before is first they'll show you, next they'll have you do it, and then they'll have you teach somebody else. And so hopefully we'll be able to have you walk through those three steps, but today you'll be able to hear certain prophetic principles. You'll be able to then have the visual recognition of writing them down and capturing them, and then of course being able to take it with you as well. Okay, we're going to start off again very elementary in terms of what is prophecy. What is prophecy? Now, does everybody have a study guide? Okay. Rosemary, what's going to be the best time for us to take a break? I know it's 3 o'clock now. 10 to 4. Okay. We've got about 15 pages total of outline to be able to get through. Now, what we're going to present to you in the first 50 minutes, I took 8 weeks with our church and really unpacked it. So we're going to give you the condensed version, but I believe God's going to release some prophetic zip files. Amen. To where God will give you some downloads that you can take home and you can unpack. You can plug it in your secret place, and all of a sudden it can unfold and become a living word for you. But first, let's start off with the basics. What is prophecy? The definition of prophecy. Prophecy defined, your first blank there is prediction. It's the foretelling of events. It's speaking under inspiration. So your first three blanks there are prophecy is defined as prediction, the foretelling of events, and the speaking under inspiration. Now, I've got several biblical definitions for you here with several translations of 1 Corinthians 14:3, which is the definition of New Testament prophetic ministry. New King James here tells us, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. And we're going to break down each of those words so we understand the DNA of what a prophetic word looks like. But your three blanks there are edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. The NIV, of course, tells us that one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, their encouraging, and their comfort. You see, you can always tell the fruit of prophetic ministry because when people begin to speak life, when they begin to speak truth, when they begin to speak hope, all of a sudden people's countenance begins to change. That is where the weak can then say I'm strong, because they've got a new perspective of an old thing. It doesn't mean their circumstance changes, but it means the perspective, how they're looking at what's happening, has all of a sudden shifted. A great example is found in 1 Samuel chapter 14. Jonathan, a king's kid, right? How many king's kids in here this morning or this afternoon? Come on. Full of king's kids. That's actually the ministry of our children's ministry at our church, King's Way. But Jonathan, you know, Saul had put a forced fast on his army and then send them out to fight a battle they were not equipped to fight. And honestly, much of the church that has denied the ministry of wisdom and revelation, that has denied the ministry that God still speaks today, is like sending out an army on a forced fast. Because Jesus said He was the bread who came down from heaven. Amen? And so what they do is they send people out to fight the Christian fight and to live the Christian life, but without the equipping and the empowerment that is necessary to do it in a way that is successful. But it said in 1 Samuel 14, Jonathan showed up a little late for the meeting, and when he did, he had a staff in his hand. And everybody was looking weary, everybody was tired, they were just moping around, just like, woe is me, we got to fight a battle, we're going to lose anyway. Anybody ever start your day like that? You start wishing it had already ended. I'll tell you, if you can't look in the mirror and love what you see, you don't have a revelation of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's going to be one of the things the Lord's going to do for you over the next 2 days. You're going to see things different. You're not going to see things according to the flesh, but you're going to see things according to the Spirit. And I'll tell you, one of the anointings that I believe is coming to the church, and don't hate me or shout me down for this, but I'll tell you, Aretha Franklin had a revelation we all need. What you want, baby, I got it. That is the ministry of the kingdom. That greater is He that is in me than he is in the world. We owe our city an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we have not personally tasted, and if we have not personally seen that the Lord is good, how can we hold them accountable for not tasting? And how can we hold them accountable for not seeing? Because we are called as regional ambassadors to bring heaven to earth in the hearts of those who hear us. But Jonathan took his staff, which speaks of authority, and he stretched it out and he touched the honeycomb, because honey was dripping from this honeycomb. And he said he put the honey to his mouth, and it says his countenance was brightened and his eyes were enlightened. And see, that's what happens when you speak prophetically to somebody else for their strengthening, their exhortation, their edification, the ministry of comfort. You see, Holy Spirit, the first way in John 14:16, when Jesus introduced the ministry of Holy Spirit, He introduced Him as the minister of comfort, to bring comfort. He rarely allows you to remain comfortable where you're at, but He'll help you feel better about where you're going. Amen? And so the prophetic ministry is allowing others to taste and to see God and bringing an end to a forced fast in their life and allowing them to hear and delight their soul in abundance. Isaiah 55. The message here says, but when you proclaim His truth in everyday speech, you're letting others in on the truth so that they can grow and be strong and experience His presence within you. I like that. That you proclaim His truth in everyday speech. On there? Okay, great. Awesome. I don't know. Yeah, it is low battery. All right. Are we on now? Great. One of the things you have to understand about the prophetic is, thus saith the Lord rarely gets anybody saved. In fact, there's only one New Testament example. And listen, you kind of feel the reaction there. Don't. There's only one New Testament example where somebody said, thus saith the Lord, and they were wrong. Acts 17, Agabus. He had an accurate revelation. He had a misinterpretation that brought a misapplication, and he applied pressure when he communicated, the Lord said. The prophetic, as ministers, see, the word minister means that we're a servant. That we're coming and we are presenting to others, just like you would come and you would wait on a table. You're actually coming and presenting to them what heaven has for them in their moment. And so I want to encourage you that the prophetic, especially outside, is one way that we can carry ourselves in a prophetic posture in here, but there's another way out there. Are you with me? And it's in the giving away of honey. It's in the giving away of the goodness of God that becomes an invitation. And that's where it comes into everyday speech. We'll quote a lot of chapter and verse in here, but when we're talking to folks out there at the Walmart, you'll notice we don't use a lot of chapter and verse. But we release the same amount of love, we release the same amount of life by recognizing who people are. Because what they've done oftentimes becomes a limitation into knowing and embracing who they are. In John 1, we see a story with Jesus calling Philip. And he called Philip. He said, hey, come follow me. And immediately, Philip, as soon as he began to start following the Lord, he said he went and he found Nathanael. And when he went and found Nathanael, all of a sudden, Nathanael said, hey, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And the root word for Nazareth is netzer, and it's the Greek word for branch. And it is the question that oftentimes the world is asking, can anything good come out of the branch? He is the vine, we are the... How did Jesus respond to that? He didn't give a dissertation, he didn't even quote the Old Testament. This is what he said. He said, hey, behold an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Evidently, and you can see this, Nathanael had been living under a label of accusation up until that time, and someone had accused him of being a deceitful person in whose heart was guile. And so the Lord stepped up as a representation of true prophetic ministry and removed a yoke prophetically. He took off of him what others said he had done and instead spoke to who he was. And it was in that place Nathanael said, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And see, part of what the prophetic does is it removes yokes, it destroys burdens, and it begins to point a light to Christ in others, the hope of glory, and what God wants to do as a loving Father who wants to reveal to His sons all that's in His heart for them. The Amplified, of course, says, but on the other hand, one who prophesies or interprets the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching speaks to men for their upbuilding and constructive spiritual progress and encouragement and consolation. Now, what does edification mean? It's the architecture or the building up of one another. It can also mean confirmation. So we're going to move quickly for the sake of time here. The blank there is building up. Architecture or the building up of one another. It can also mean confirmation. How many of you have received a prophetic word that just kind of brought a witness to what you believe the Lord was already speaking to you? That was exhortation. Okay? Edification. Exhortation, the root word here, means to call near, to invite, or to call forth. It means to call near, to invite, or to call forth. So your blanks there are call near, invite, or to call forth. Jesus said in John 6:44, no one comes to me unless the Father draws him. But oftentimes, it's the ministry of exhortation through the prophetic that is the drawing force of the Father that points to the Son. Comfort, defined in its simplest sense, means to console or to encourage. Encourage means to inspire. You're blank there. To inspire with courage, spirit, hope, or confidence. It means to stimulate by assistance, to promote and or advance. You mean our communication can promote others? It can advance them in what they're called to do? Absolutely. Paul said in Ephesians 4, he said, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, only that which is good for necessary edification, building others up, and ministering grace to those who hear you." And what he was saying was, the words that we speak have the power to build up or to tear down. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. That word power in the Hebrew actually means direction. And see, it's about which way our tongue is pointed. And we're those who are called to point and to speak to life. But honestly, you can't give away something you've not already received. And we see that in the life of David, a man after God's own heart. It says here that David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And a prophetic posture begins with you. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6 says this. It says, "Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters, but David strengthened himself in the Lord." And see, the prophetic strengthens, it builds up, and it encourages others in the plans and the purposes the Lord has for them. Your blanks there are the prophetic strengthens, it builds up, and it encourages others in the plans and the purposes the Lord has prepared for them. How many of you ever recognize that sometimes it can be easier to hear for others than it is to hear for yourself? Amen. That's part of how the Lord has designed it, because we need each other. Amen? We're not supposed to be just prophetic lone rangers or just, "Hey, listen, I've heard God." That's why we're told to judge prophetic words. We need a community. We need accountability. We need leaders in our life who have an understanding not only of how God speaks, but also the nature of when God speaks. Amen? Because when we hear the Word of God, we should also experience the heart of God behind that Word. And the same way out of the abundance of our heart that our mouth speaks, the same is true with the prophetic. That out of the abundance of the heart of our Father, when He speaks through the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the testimony of Jesus Christ, the heart of our Father is received and experienced by those who have heard Him. Very quickly here, just looking at cultivating a prophetic heart. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3, cultivating a prophetic heart begins with the desire to love others the way that God loves us. Prophetic ministry is built on the foundation of love. 1 John 4:8 tells us that God is love. Ministering prophetically is hearing a word from God and speaking what you hear. And looking at 1 John 4:8, we see that ministering the Word of God can also be understood to be speaking a word of love. Now, what is the truth we see there in 1 Corinthians 13? For the sake of time, in a nutshell, Paul kind of runs down his resume. He's like, "Hey, listen, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, you know, that I sell all my goods to feed the poor, though I have understanding of all mysteries, though I've done this and I've done that, if I don't have love as the motivation behind all of these things, I'm nothing but a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal." Okay? So we recognize the cultivation of a prophetic heart begins with love. In Revelation 19:10, we see the testimony of Jesus as the spirit of prophecy. Jesus said that the world would know we are His disciples by the way we love one another. And the prophetic is an expression of our love for one another. A disciple is simply one whose life mirrors the teachings and example of the one they follow. Everything Jesus did and said was born out of love. Okay? Does everybody have those blanks? Anybody need us to go back over any of them? Okay, again, we're trying to move fast, but I want to make sure we don't leave anybody behind. The last one there is, give yourself grace to grow. Give yourself grace to grow. Like in anything in the kingdom, when we are faithful with what God gives us in small measure, it increases. Amen? And so if you desire to have open visions and trances and to hear God speak on what we call what are higher level revelations, awesome. Start with impressions and prophetic perceptions. And we're going to talk about that this afternoon. And you're going to recognize how often we're all hearing from the Lord. As we look at the prophetic posture, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:1, and this is really how someone positions themselves as a prophetic gift and grace to the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, it starts off by saying, "Pursue love and desire, zealously covet or lust after spiritual gifts, the supernatural, but especially that you may prophesy." So what is the prophetic posture? It begins with pursuing love. Secondly, desiring spiritual gifts, and then from that place, prophesying. Now, why prophesy? Of course, all of you have already probably answered this question in your hearts, otherwise you wouldn't be here on a Friday afternoon. But the prophetic gives life and it imparts hope. The prophetic gives life and it imparts hope. You see, New Testament, New Covenant prophetic ministry is not to expose and to uncover. How you know, under the Old Covenant, there were prophets that were released that were supposed to step in and kind of right wrongs. And some of the ways they did that, like Nathan to David, he would give him the parable of the man and the sheep and the whole story of Bathsheba. We're all familiar with it. And then David's like, "Off with his head." And Nathan's like, "I'll hand you the sword." You see, love covers. Love covers. And we see this example, of course, you know, with Noah, we see it with Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You have one who wants to expose the nakedness of somebody else to promote himself. And then you have the two others that say, "Hey, listen, we're going to cover." And I want to tell you this, as you grow and your awareness of when God is speaking and what God is saying, He will tell you things that at first do not seem redemptive. He'll show you things about people. He'll show you things about places. He'll show you things about weather patterns. Not so you can announce what's coming, but so you can recognize the ways that creation is groaning for the sons of God to be made manifest, and that you could speak into the absence of heaven here on earth. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? And so we recognize that when the prophetic is released, it's for exhortation, it's edification, it's comfort. It imparts hope. Hope is good. Amen? See, His plans for us, Jeremiah 29 tells us, are of good and not of evil. They're of peace to give us a future and a hope. And so oftentimes the prophetic plans of God are delivered by the prophetic words of men to give others a future and a hope and a situation they have been without hope. Jesus said this in John 6:63, "The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." In other words, they're tangible. They're tangible. There's an impartation. When He opened His mouth, Holy Spirit came into the room. How many of you have ever seen that before? You're in a service, or you're just in a coffee shop, or you're in a meeting with Bishop Chuck or Father Mark, and all of a sudden they say something and it's like, whew, the Lord just came in the room and started giving you like mouth to mouth, resuscitating your heart. It was like clear, boom, right? That, and it didn't even have to be framed as a prophetic word. It just came out as life and it imparted hope. Well, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so when we speak prophetically, our words carry the reality of Holy Spirit and they impart life to those who hear us. Interesting, when you talk about the testimony of Jesus here, being the spirit of prophecy, testimony is defined in the Webster's Dictionary as a first-hand authentication of a fact, an outward sign. I'm going to move fast through these because you have them all in your notes. A solemn declaration usually made orally by a witness under oath in response to an interrogation by a lawyer or authorized public official. An open acknowledgement or a public profession. Testimony. So the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. John said it like this in 1 John 1. He said, "We're a witness of what we've seen with our eyes, we've heard with our ears, and we've touched with our hands." And see, John, as the beloved, probably one of the most prophetic in the New Testament church, even known as John the Revelator, knew that the basis of the prophetic is that we are a witness. Amen? That a witness is called to present evidence of what we've prophetically seen and what we've prophetically heard and we've prophetically touched in our own life as He, the one who is life, has touched us. Amen? Now, you also see there we got Webster's definition. Let me give you Hooper's definition. Hooper's definition is simply, it's a verbal declaration or account of what has been seen and heard. And that's simply a prophetic testimony. Now, how many understand how to prophetically process a word? Do you guys, I mean, have you guys, is this repeat? Did you guys do some of this last night or even this morning? This is basic stuff, okay? Now, if we don't have this type of introductory understanding, this is all meant to demystify the prophetic. Okay? And when we understand the prophetic process, all of a sudden, you may all prophesy. Okay? Now, Luke 11, 9, how many of you have ever wondered, you say, God, I wish I could hear God like that guy. Or I wish I could hear God like that girl. Or I wish I had dreams like them. Anybody ever say that? Let me tell you, you can. And you will. You can. And you will. And see, part of what my prayer is this afternoon and tonight is that that prophetic gap in so many lives would be bridged. And you would recognize it's not a great divide, but it's a place where the Lord laid down His life so that we could all hear, we could all understand, and we could all become a voice of life and a voice of hope in the lives of those around us. So prophetically processing, open up your Bible to Luke 11. I'll just show you real quickly. Luke 11. We've got about 22 minutes before we're going to go ahead and take our break. And so we will do our best to get through these next couple pages. And then we should be able to wrap up both growing in the prophetic 101 and 102 in an afternoon, which that is a greater work. Amen. Like I said, just 101, we did 8 weeks with our folks. We did 2 weeks in 102. And then what we'll do tonight, we're going to, it's actually where a lot of folks tend to find a little bit of issue. We're going to talk about recognizing and removing idols within our own heart. Because sometimes we can hear God accurately, but because of something that we don't recognize has been living in our heart, unbeknownst to us, we can misinterpret what God is saying. See, and understanding, honestly, is the essence of interpretation. You see, and understanding, not only recognizing that God is speaking, but understanding what God is saying, and then also recognizing how to apply that truth, are as important as what God is saying. Are you with me? So Luke 11, 9, Jesus says, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." It goes on to say that everyone who asks in verse 10 receives. So who receives?
Everyone
who asks. There you go. Come on, Virginia got it. Not everyone. Everyone who asks. And think of ask as this, an acrostic. Ask, seek, knock. You see, because what do you receive when you ask? Your first blank there, number one, is when you ask, you receive revelation. Revelation simply means to make known. It's divine insight. It means unveiling. It means to disclose. It means to reveal. It's a biblical and prophetic revelation that is the term for God's initial communication with you. Now, I used to have a boss, and we, you know, this is back, I was, Rick Joyner's kind of number two at Morningstar. I handled a lot of the operations. I was the associate pastor at Heritage, did a lot of stuff. And this was another gentleman who worked with us on staff there. We did a lot of things by IM. And quite often, just to remind me who was boss, he would IM me and say, "Hey, can you come up here?" And it was like three floors. We were trying not to use elevators to save money. And so it's in the dead end. We're talking July. We're pulling the air back. I get up there and be like, "Hey, what can I do for you?" He's like, "How's your day going?" I'm like, "You've got a phone. I've got a phone. We could," but I didn't recognize at the time he was actually pursuing a relationship with me. At first I was like, why is he messing with me? Truth was, and I didn't know it until later, and it was a test in my own heart, he really just wanted time with me, and that was the best way to do it. Jeremiah 33:3 is like the how many of you remember when we had beepers? Jeremiah 33:3 is like your beeper. Call to me, and I'll show you a great and mighty thing that you do not know. You see, the Lord will give you revelation, not so that you run with revelation, but so that you'll draw near to Him for interpretation. And then together you will minister the application of the revelation and its interpretation. Okay? So revelation, of course, is what it's the initial communication from God. It is saying, call to me and I will show you. Now, it says that everyone who seeks finds. What is it that we're seeking? Interpretation. The word there for the blank is interpretation. Interpretation biblically simply means to explain or tell the meaning of or present in an understandable term. Biblical and prophetic interpretation is simply the essence of what God is really saying. And hopefully, you know, that may be one of the things that would be great depending on the time we have with our activations. One of the things I love to do is helping people move from revelation to application by hunkering down on interpretation. Because oftentimes we'll ask the Lord. Revelation begins with us asking the Lord. Coming to the Lord, whether it's in prayer or simply just passing somebody in the produce section of the grocery store and saying, Lord, would you speak to me for them? Because the answer is always yes. But oftentimes, you know, it may come and, for instance, Father Mark could be walking by somebody in the produce section and he'll walk by and he's like, wow, man, my heart was moved with compassion toward that person. And Lord, would you speak to me for that person? And all of a sudden, Mark sees a picture of this bright, red, delicious apple. And all of a sudden, Mark's like, that's just because I just walked by the apple section. That had to have been me. Let me tell you, if you ask for bread, you're not going to get a stone. If you ask for a fish, you're not going to get a snake. If you ask the Lord to speak, don't discount what He says. So the revelation could be Mark sees an apple. There's this sweet young lady there, and Mark's like, apple. Is she from the Big Apple? Is she the apple of God's eye? Apples also prophetically speak of the presence of the Lord. I've got a list, a 3-page list of prophetic smells and fragrances. How many of you have ever smelled prophetic or different senses come into the room, different smells? I've got I don't think we'll have time to do it during this deal, but I can make it available to you guys and they can just send it out to you in terms of this list and prophetic senses about just what we've learned over the years, different fragrances mean prophetically in the Lord and how to interpret those fragrances. But see, what happens is the initial revelation that comes to Mark is apple. Then all of a sudden he has a choice to draw near to the Lord and for the Lord to draw near to him. And then all of a sudden he understands what God is saying with the picture of the apple he gave. Could be that, yes, she is the apple of God's eye. And yes, she is from the Big Apple. And there's an invitation to be drawn closer into the Lord's presence than she's ever been. And all of a sudden you feel like you're stepping out on uncharted waters, and then all of a sudden you begin to minister and the presence of God comes. And oftentimes people discount their revelation before they ever give it. I want to tell you this, you can't judge a prophetic word until it's given. You can't judge a prophetic word until it's given. And oftentimes, through the fear of man and our need for approval, we talk ourselves out of the very things we're asking God for. Step out. Worst case scenario, you have an opportunity to be delivered from the fear of man. I've got just amazing stories of how I've seen God show up. And I've also got amazing stories of how I just belly flopped. And then I got up and dusted myself off. And I'll tell you, the Lord was as pleased with me and the belly flops, saying, that was awesome. You went for it. And I'm telling you, oftentimes after that belly flop, when all of a sudden you realize it's not about you, then all of a sudden the clutter in your heart and the idols are removed and you can hear more clearly than you ever could before. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Number 3, you knock. You know what the knock speaks? It's what you do with the word. It's what you do with the word. First blank there is application. Which means to administer or put to use. It's a biblical and prophetic application. It's how you are to communicate the essence of what God is saying to those He is speaking to through you in a restorative and redemptive way that edifies, exhorts, and comforts the person or people you're speaking to. Again, like Virginia told us, everyone who asks receives. So who receives? Bam. Come on now. That's it. See, we have not because we ask not. So where does it start? Ask. Everyone who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. So again, who receives? Everyone who asks. Oftentimes we think we're not receiving because we do not recognize the package that contains what we've asked for. Okay, I remember when I proposed to my wife, and you know, it was one of those like little box and a bigger box and a bigger box and a bigger box and a bigger box, and it was like 14 boxes until she got down to the ring. And here I show with this big box, and she's like thinking I'm gonna propose, and then the more boxes, she's like, who is this guy? Why is he doing this to me? And all of it, I was just drawing nearer to her. We were creating a moment. And see, honestly, the Lord is so, He is so in love, and He is so head over heels for you. He dreams for moments with you. And so oftentimes God will deliver prophetic revelation to you in packages you may not recognize at face value, simply to see how bad do you want it? Are you willing to draw near to Him that He could draw near to you? Now, who finds? He who seeks. To whom is the door open? Him who knocks. Now, here's a question people ask a lot of time in the prophetic. What if I've heard or seen something that isn't from God? Should I be worried about being deceived? How many of you ever heard that? No. Just write the word no. Don't be worried about being deceived. Because let me tell you, you'll always see what you're looking for. If you're looking for what's not, that's what you'll see. If you're looking for what is, that's what you'll find. So the Lord said, let it be done according to you, according to your faith. People, listen, people who are, I won't go there. Take a time. God bless America. Luke 11, 11 through 13, you see the scripture there. Simply, if you ask for bread, He's not going to give you a stone. He's a good Father. Verse 13 says, hey, listen, if we being evil desire to give good gifts to our children, how much more does our Heavenly Father desire to give good gifts to us, to those who ask for the Holy Spirit? We stopped at Dollar General on the way here because I realized we had all of these study guides and no pens. And we walk in, we couldn't find pens, but Caleb comes back with an air pistol and some Swiss cake rolls. And I was like, I love how you think. You are your father's boy. He's like, Dad, hotel. Dad. And I listen. If we being evil know how to give good gifts to our father, give good gifts to our children, how much more? How much more? When he saw that, I was excited. I was like, man, I can't wait to get that for you. And I'll tell you, my excitement to get him something that his heart desired so pales in comparison to your father giving you a word that's going to bring life to others. I remember when my Joshua was about, 3 years old. And Caleb was probably, he had been 3.5 because Caleb was probably about 18 months. And this was back when Nilla wafers were like the currency of the Hooper house. And Joshua, he was like, Nilla wafer, he'd just go after it and do the whole like, sign language more and more and more. Nilla wafer, Nilla wafer, Nilla wafer. But he had an allowance of Nilla wafers. He had a limited quantity that he had access to until one day. And, his nickname was Bubba. Caleb's was Shug. And so he came and said, more shug, more shug. And so when I recognized he wasn't coming for himself, but he was asking for a Nilla wafer for Caleb, all of a sudden I said, come here, let me show you something. And that day I showed him the pantry, and I moved the Nilla wafer down to a shelf that he could reach. And I'm telling you, when it's not about getting our fix and just meeting our need, but when we recognize, Father, can I have more for my brother? All of a sudden, what has seemed out of reach will reach out to you. He's a good father. He's a great father. I want to tell you this. Those of you who feel like you've received inaccurate things in times past, maybe you ever felt like God spoke and you missed it. You didn't miss it. You just need to be recalibrated a little bit. Fine-tuned. Right? Anybody ever had a radio slightly out of frequency? just adjust it a little bit. And it's a process. We're learning. One of the great things Francis Frangipane says is you can never fail one of God's tests. You just keep taking until you pass. It's not that you received an inaccurate revelation or that you perceive something from a source other than the Holy Spirit, but oftentimes we can misinterpret the essence of what God is really saying. And I'll tell you what, let's do this. Can we take a break now? And then we'll come back because we can actually blend this together with what we're going to do in part two. And then we won't miss a beat and we can get you out of here by 4:30. Sound good? All right, go ahead and take a break. How long, Rosemary? 5 minutes? All right, we'll start again in 5 minutes.